How are we doing? Everybody good enough to eat? Good. Yeah, me too. All right, what do we got here?
PUP guys like Trey Jackson, did he just run out of time? Wasn't ready to practice? How did that unfold with him?
Yeah, he won't play this year.
Same with Bowman?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, a little bit of a different schedule for you guys. You feel like you were able to, I know the guys were in here, but feel like you were able to get a good day in yesterday.
Yeah, that's part of the game. It's a good day yesterday. Mm-hmm. Yep. We'll pick up on a couple things today that there were a couple things we didn't do yesterday, but we'll get those today.
Bill, you guys have seen Brandon Marshall quite a bit over the years. Statistically, this is not his best season, but what kind of player is he at age 32 or 33?
Yeah, looks the same. All things we said about him in the past, I don't really see much difference.
Bill, I think I probably know what the answer to this question is, but...
why are we going to ask it then?
We kind of have to, Bill. It's our job. Tom, do you expect him to play this weekend?
We'll list Tom on the injury report, like we always do, like everybody else.
I asked
them. Yeah. Was that the answer you were hoping for?
I'm not hoping for it, but expecting.
Yeah, okay, good. I don't want to disappoint you.
No, I understand.
But what have you seen from Wesley Johnson as he's stepped in from Nick Mangold the last 2 weeks?
He's a pretty versatile player. You know, we saw him coming out of Vanderbilt, played tackle down there, he's played guard, center. Seems pretty smart and aware in there. Handling the different communication and adjustments, shotgun snaps and all that. So he's done a good job for him.
I'm curious just how you look at pressures versus sacks. I know we probably focus more on sacks, but defensively, are there times where pressure can have just as much impact on a play, or are those almost as important?
All of it's important. So, coverage is important. Rushing the quarterback's important.
I guess my question is: do you feel like if you're pressuring a quarterback, can that be an indication of having success up front or whatever the defense is trying to accomplish, even if the result isn't necessarily a sack?
Yeah, well, I think you got to look at the individual plays. If the quarterback just catches the ball and throws it, I mean, I don't care what you have. You're not going to really get any pressure, but that's, you have to defend the play. If the quarterback, the longer he holds the ball, then the more pressure you would expect to get on the quarterback, or you'd want to get on the quarterback. The more guys you rush, the more pressure you would expect to get on a quarterback. Again, there's a point where on certain plays, the ball just comes out of his hand. I mean, you can't get there. I don't care if you send everybody. So it's really a result of the play. You stop them on third down, if you stop them in the red area, if you stop them on first down, put them in second long, but those are good plays. I mean, I don't care whether you have pressure, have coverage, whatever it is. You're happy with those plays. If you don't, then you want to find a way to do them better.
How would you say Chris Long has kind of fit into that conversation? He's a guy who doesn't have a ton of sacks this year, but it seems like there have been occasions where he's been close or affected the play with his pass back.
Yeah, I think Chris has given us a lot of snaps this year. He's given us a lot of good snaps. Plays hard, plays a good technique. He's a smart, aware player. He's got his plays in the passing game, got his plays in the running game. Like every player, things he can work on. But we can say that about all of us.
Martellus Bennett has fought through a few injuries this year. How impressed have you been with the toughness that he's displayed this season?
Yeah, he's showed good toughness. Yeah, he's been a very dependable player for us in terms of being out there all the way through the spring, OTAs, training camp, regular season. So, you know, it's one of those positions, offensive line, tight end, linebacker, running back. And those guys get hit a lot. They're in a lot of contact plays. And part of those positions, I mean, it's true of all positions, too. I'm not trying to single them out, but there's contact on pretty much every play for them. You know, part of those positions is durability.
Tomorrow. You guys have significantly increased defensive snaps with a traditional interior defensive lineman on the field this season. Is that kind of by design to get faster, or is it difficult to find those defensive tackles who can rush the passer on third down?
Well, again, third down is really a situation down, so it depends on what the situation is, what they have, what you're trying to do. And so put the players on the field that you feel like can best perform in that situation.
Those formations with basically four edge rushers on the field at once, no defensive tackle. Did that kind of start in 2011 with the Giants? Did it start before that?
Well, again, I think, you know, your definition of those players is probably depends on just how you want to call it. I mean, what do you want to call it? Easily? Do you want to call it easily defensive tackle? I mean, he's, whatever he was, 270-some pounds. So, is he a tackle? Is Sheridan in? You know, it's just a matter of semantics in some cases. So I would say that there's been, that we've had a similar group of players on the field in a lot of those situations for the last 3 or 4 years. If you, that's the way I look at it. You know, I mean, Hightower, I mean, what do you want to call him? Is he an end? Is he a linebacker? Is he a tackle? He's 260-some pounds, and he's played all of them. You know, Chris Long's an end. He's played those positions. Sheard's played those positions. Easley's played those positions. Geno Grissom's played some of those positions. A.J. Johnson, when he was here, I mean, what do you want to call him? You know, so. And I think you're looking at a lot of a similar type of athlete in some of those spots. Whatever the position is, it is, but it's a similar type of athlete.
Is it tough to find a 300-pounder that you can stick in there on third down?
Well, I wouldn't say stick in there, but,
right.
I mean.
Keep in there.
Yeah. Like Richard Seymour, he was the sixth pick of the draft. And those guys don't grow on trees. Leonard Williams was the, I don't know, fifth, sixth pick of the draft, whatever it was. Those guys, Sheldon Richardson, Wilkerson, I mean, a lot of those guys aren't hanging around in the eighth round now, ninth round, free eight. I mean, they're just, they're not there then. So, yeah, they're definitely hard to find. They're definitely hard to find. That's why they go so fast.
So when you line up with James and Dion out of the gun, both in the backfield at the same time, ideally, what kind of challenges do you hope to present to a defense? If two guys are good pass catchers who also can take the handoff out of the gun if you like to run it in those spots.
Yeah, it just gives you a little, you know, I think it presents a couple of different options to the defense. If you have a tight end and a back in there, then I think they're pretty sure the tight end's not going to handle the ball in a running game. When you have two backs in there, then it's a little different story. Tight end routes and the back routes are a little bit different. So tight ends have certain advantages, certainly in our case, size, length. There's a little bit of diversity with a back relative to a tight end, so. Certainly the tight end's a better on-the-line blocker. So it's just, you know, both skill players, both give you, can do things. They're different. When you put two backs in there, like what the Jets do, they do some of that too with Ivory and Powell or Forte and Powell this year. They move a guy out of the backfield. So which guy is it? It's not a tight end and a back. It's now two backs, and how do you treat them and so forth. So it's just another way to use those guys and put another log on the fire for the defense that they've got to make some kind of adjustment to. Not saying it's like the hardest adjustment in the history of the game, but it's another one that you just have to deal with.
Tomorrow will be 10 years since you made the change from the natural surface to an artificial surface, and I'm curious what you recall about the situation with the field and the problems with the field back in 2006, and then about the two-week sort of rapid installation of the artificial surface during that season.
If I remember right, that was after the Baltimore game.
It was actually after the Jets game.
When was the Baltimore game?
I don't believe there was some reworking of the surface before you played the Colts, and then you had the Jets in. Then you were away for a week, you came back, and you played the Bears at home on the new surface.
All right. Well, there were a few games in there that were the Ravens game was one game, the Jets game was another game. I think there was another one in there somewhere. Look, the reality of it is it's just hard to go grass. But technology's changed in the last 10 years relative to grass growing. Not that I'm a big expert on that, but that's what's been represented to me, and I think that's true. And we played on some great grass fields. Cleveland's field was great, outstanding. Green Bay a couple of years ago was good. Pittsburgh was good this year. I know the Ravens went to grass this year. We played in Philadelphia. That field's been pretty good. So I think there are more of those in this northern area. And they all seem to be doing pretty well from our experience in the last 2 to 3 years on them. Going back to that time, it was tough. We had to resod the field a couple times at the end of the year in the playoffs. And then in the 06 season, during the season, it just, got bad. You can't grow it, so either play on it or come in and resod it. I don't think either one was a great option then. But I think overall, it was a great job to get the field in as quickly as we did and turn it around. But I think at that point, we were looking at the prospect of playing however many more games on not really the surface that was, I don't want to say playable, but played better.
So when you make a decision, it seems sort of an extreme measure to rip out the field and put in a new one right in the middle of the season. Is that something where it's a concern about injuries, or is it just like we just don't want to have to worry about this problem anymore?
So it's a concern about everything. Injuries are a factor. Quality of the game is a factor. Being able to, if you have a good football team, you have a competitive team. You want to give them a chance to play. You don't want to go out there and slop around every week and, play in a mud bowl. So, but when you play on a surface that's, I'll say in bad condition, inconsistent condition, the outside of the field sort of okay, the inside of the field's a mud pit. Those are hard conditions for players to play on. It's because it's not consistent from within the play, where it's frozen on part of the field and it's not frozen on the other part of the field. It's tough to put the players in those situations. So, at that time, that's what we thought. Talked to Robert about it. At that time, we felt like that was the best thing to do. And we did it. So maybe they'll get to the point where we'll make a different decision. I don't know, but that's where it was then.
Would you agree that last week's game was Vincent Valentine's best, most productive performance that he's had this year?
I thought he did a good job. I'd say he has good plays every week. And there are plays that he could have played better on in the games that he's played. So he's definitely an improving player. I don't know, but it's headed in the right direction, and he certainly has some positive plays. I'd say pretty much in every game. Might have been a couple more last week, but it's trending the right way.
Bill, when it comes to
Vincent, I know he missed a couple games injured, but how have you seen his progress in terms of his conditioning? I know for some first-year players, it's the process just getting used to a program, being a professional. But how has he come along in that regard in terms of his physical condition?
Good. I think our players are in good condition this year. I think Moses has done a good job. Guys like Branch have played more snaps than he's ever played. Malcolm's played a lot of snaps. Vincent, our offensive line, those guys have played a lot of snaps. I'm talking about the bigger guys now. So I think our conditioning's been good. And we've had a lot of guys play, again, in those positions. A lot of those guys played a lot of football, a lot of snaps. And I haven't gotten the sense. Last week was a good test defensively because of the tempo of the game and so forth that I didn't feel like that was an issue. So I think overall the team's trained hard. They trained hard in the offseason. They worked hard in training camp. Again, we've been relatively healthy, so we've been able to stay out there. A lot of times the conditioning declines a little bit when a player misses 3, 4, 5 weeks and comes back. He's back, but he's maybe not in the same condition he would be in if he hadn't missed that amount of time. So, yeah, I'd say all those guys are doing, a good job on that. But, look, it's always a little more of a challenge for the rookies. But overall, this group really haven't had any issues with any of them, especially on the weight end of it. I mean, Tooney, Karras, Valentine, Hamilton. None of those guys have been weight issues at all.
Vincent, if you needed him to, would be the kind of guy who would be able to play a little bit more if that came up?
From a conditioning standpoint? Yeah, I don't think that's an issue.
Bill, you guys are at 56% pass, 44 run this year, which is a little bit more balanced than last year. I think it was 62 pass, 38% run. What is the commitment to the ground game done for the offense for you guys?
I mean, when it's good, it helps us. I mean, as I've said before, I'm for moving the ball and scoring points. So if that's throwing it, if that's running it, as long as we move the ball and score points, that's good. The better balanced you are, then I think there's certainly a benefit to that. It helps the other complementary part of the game. The passing game helps the running game. The running game helps the passing game. It just gives the defense more things to worry about and more things they have to defend. You have more ways to attack them. But sometimes it tilts one way or the other. We run the ball 40 times or in the high 30s. Some weeks we run it in the teens. So it's hard to keep calling runs or passes if they're not working well. I mean, I'm not going to call 40 runs or, 53 yards and say, well, we ran it 40 times. I mean, we're not doing that. So we know if we run it, we're going to call runs. We know if we throw it, we make yards, we're going to throw it. So.
Final questions?
Two familiar faces on their defense, Anthony Johnson and Darryl Roberts. Are they using Johnson the same way you guys did, sort of sub rushing?
Yeah, he's been at end, some goal line situations. They put the big guys inside. Darryl's, they've matched up some, but he's played some inside, but I'd say primarily on the perimeter. And then the last couple of weeks, when Marcus Williams got hurt in the Miami game, he's pretty much really been the third corner. Screen moves inside, and Revis stays outside. Unless they match up, then if they match up, then they match up with wherever the guys are, then they match to them.
You mentioned Leonard Williams and just his physical skill set is pretty rare. I know you mentioned even a couple weeks ago when just talking about that body type, but how has he come along in his second year now?
Yeah, really good. Tough to block. Disruptive player, impact player, running game, passing game. They put him on the nose a decent amount when they play their five down look and get him isolated on the centers, and he's been very disruptive there, been hard to block. Play some three technique. When they get into their four-man rush and they you know, put him out at end. So they go with Richardson, Wilkerson, and him, and where the fourth guy is. So he play out on the tackle. He plays three technique. Then they use him some on the nose in their five down scheme. So he's hard to block no matter where he is. He's long, quick, and has very good leverage and strength for as long as he is. He plays with a good pad level, and he's got good leverage. So he's a good power rusher, but he's long, and he's can, you know, use his arm overs and his length, and then he's got the quickness on stunts and games to be disruptive too. So he's a really good player. Plays hard, makes some plays from the backside. He's a good player. Hard to block, long, tip balls. He's a problem.
Seymour just is, you know, having that.
Yeah, Seymour, Tommy Kelly, that kind of 6, whatever he is, 6'6", 6'5", however big he is. He looks big. I mean, he's got long arms. He plays long. So, yeah. Those guys are tough matchups inside when they can do all those things, when you're not just moving a big guy in there to, you know, take up space, but when they can actually play like a tackle and play like an end at either spot. Just like when you move him out to end, he's got the kind of power out there that for some of the taller tackles that, you know, have trouble getting down low, he just powers through them, and or they can't handle his quickness, you know, reach blocks, and he undercuts them, things like that. So he's a tough guy to block everywhere. Yeah, really good player. All right. Okay. Yep. See you in New York.